You wake up one morning and find yourself overwhelmed with so many good ideas. You feel like you're shotgunning rather than having the confidence that your pipeline is full of the right ideas that will have near and long-term impact. So how do you prioritize your ideas? I'll be right back.
This is the Killer Innovations Podcast with Phil McKinney. Keep in mind that the information and opinions expressed in this podcast are Phil's and Phil's alone, and they don't necessarily reflect those of his past, current, or future employers. Now, here's Phil McKinney.
One of the toughest tasks is to prioritize your ideas. Many times, you will have more ideas than you can ever possibly execute. And the key here is finding out which are the right ones to work on. Now, some of this is skill that you can learn, and some of it will come from just plain experience. It's always toughest to get the first ideas through the process and get a product or service into the marketplace. And after you've done that a few times, you kind of build up a little bit of a sixth sense of what will work within your organization. But the key here is that you need a starting point. You need a framework to prioritize the ideas that you have now and to give yourself more confidence that you have the right level of risk spread across your ideas and that all your risk is not in the near term, nor are you betting on the fact that your ideas that are going to be products or services 3 years from now are going to be the best ideas. So what is this framework? I'm going to give you a simple framework that I use. I use it as kind of a first filter when I'm looking at ideas in order to at least make sure that I've got good coverage across a wide range of risk profiles that we use. So, first off, rank your ideas based on the five key questions. Now, if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you know the five key questions. However, if you're new to the podcast, I'm going to run through them really quick. The key rule for the five key questions is that you must be able to answer yes to the first three. So the first question is, does this idea fundamentally change the customer experience or the customer expectation? The second question is, does this idea fundamentally change the competitive landscape? The third question is, does this fundamentally change the economics of the industry? Now, any idea must be able to answer yes to any one of those first three. The last two, you must be able to answer yes to both of them. The first one is, do you have a contribution to make? Do you have something that is going to create a barrier that a competitor is not going to be able to duplicate in the form of patents or IP, unique channel experience, control of certain distribution channels? Something. What is the contribution? You have to have something. And the second question is, will this idea generate sufficient margin? Key if you're in a for-profit business. So first off, rank each of your ideas based on these five key questions. For each of these questions, assign a score from 1 to 5, 5 being the highest. Now be careful here. Don't rank them against each other. Otherwise, you're only going to get the best idea from that session, not the best idea overall. So rank them against what you classify as a perfect idea. If you have an example of one in your organization, you can use that, but be a little careful because otherwise all the ideas start to look like that one idea that was widely successful. Rank them not against each other, but against the perfect idea, and then total the scores. Now, some teams will apply a weighting to each of those questions to basically raise or lower the impact of each question. You may be willing to lower the impact of the margin question early in the process just because you don't know what that margin number is going to be. Now, this is not a perfect rating system, but it kind of gives you a rough leveling of the ideas that are far superior and the ones that maybe aren't as great of ideas. Now, the second step, for each idea, assign an estimate of when the idea could be introduced to the market. Now, timelines differ by industry, but create timeline buckets that make sense for you. So, for example, in my case, I have a bucket that's 1 to 2 years, 3 to 5 years, or greater than 5 years. History for me says that I shouldn't have more than 3 buckets. Otherwise, you're getting down to a granularity that you really don't have a good handle on, because this is the best guess of when you can translate an idea into a commercial product. So create whatever timeline buckets make sense for you. In my case, 1 to 2 years, 3 to 5, or greater than 5 years. And if an idea is on the border where you're not quite sure if it's going to be 2 years or 3 years, round up. History again has told me that we all tend to overestimate how fast a new idea can be introduced to the market. We'll always say 2 years. In reality, it's always 3 years. This is one of the reasons why venture capitalists will take any project estimate from a management team and double it. Third, rank order based on the score within each timeline bucket. So, you've taken your ideas, you've assigned them to a timeline bucket, you have a score for each of those based on the best idea out there. Now you're going to rank order it. So what are the best sets of ideas in the bucket for 1 to 2 years? What are the best ideas in the 3 to 5 years? And what are the best ideas in plus 5 years? This will force you to look at each bucket as a standalone. Why? Because you tend to rank a higher score to ideas that are more near term. Why? Because you have more confidence. You have more confidence that you can translate that idea into a product or to a service. So if you look just historically at these ideas and you've got them in the buckets, you'll tend to find that you'll have the higher scores in the 1 to 2, the higher score, medium scores in 3 to 5, and maybe lower scores in plus 5 years. And that's just dealing with the unknown. Okay? So by taking your ideas and putting them in each of the 3 buckets and looking at each of your 3 timeline buckets as standalone, you're now categorizing risk and looking at the best ideas in a risk profile, in this case, time. So it's not critical that you get the timing perfect. Now you need to apply some criteria that works for your industry, and then you need to be consistent in applying that criteria for all the ideas that you're working on. Fourth, once you have your ideas in their buckets, then review and ensure that all the ideas are along some form of trend vector that's applicable to your industry. What are the key trends you're seeing? What are the weak signals that you're emerging for your market? And do you have ideas along each of those trend vectors or weak signals? Now, odds are, as you early on, when you're building out this map of ideas across the timeline, you're going to be missing some areas. That is a trigger for you to go back and run an idea session around a particular trend vector across a specific timeline. So if you have a weak signal that, you know, I'll use an example that says social networking. Now you need to be able to, across that social networking trend, have ideas that are high quality in that 1 to 2 years, high quality ideas that are in the 3 to 5 years, and high quality ideas that are better than 5 years. Now they don't need to be exactly on the trend line because you can't predict where things are going to be in 5 years, but you at least need to have a path and a broad enough scope in order to have a pipeline of ideas across major trends for your industry over a longer time frame than you traditionally will use for our planning purposes. The other is make sure that your ideas are aligned with your capabilities and contributions. Do you have long-range R&D going on? Do you have IP that is being developed that could give you a sustained differentiation? If so, great. If not, then start the R side of your process. Now, if you're a smaller company and you don't have, per se, quote, a research side of your organization, then go find universities. Go find inventors who are working in this area that are longer range out and work with them. Partner with them. You don't have to give them a whole lot. Give them some time, give them your feedback on their ideas, participate with them, but you've got to find a way to look at those contributions, where you could possibly get sustained differentiation, either within your organization or outside your four walls. Also, make sure you identify opportunities or needs around these ideas, such as in ecosystems, technology, supply chains. Success never comes from just one idea. It takes a value chain to create value. So you need to innovate the entire value chain around your idea. It's not just about the idea. It's about the value that gets created. Now, real quick, we've gone through the process. First, rank them based on the five key questions. For each idea, estimate when the idea was going to be introduced. Rank order your ideas based in each one of their timeline buckets, and then go back and validate that the ideas that you have in those buckets follow some form of trend line based on the trends that you're seeing in your industry or trends that you think are going to have significant impact to your business. Now, once you've got this all laid out in a document, you basically have your innovation pipeline that spreads the risk over high confidence in the near term, somewhat comfort in the midterm, high risk in the long term. You want to make sure that not all of your ideas are in the long term. At the same time, you want to make sure that not all of your ideas are in the near term. You know you have a good pipeline if you have an equal number set of ideas in each of the three buckets. But now that you have your pipeline, go. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Do not pass go. Don't delay. Execute. The pipeline document that you've just created is a living document. You need to reevaluate the list and be willing to stop programs that are no longer viable, such as there's changing trends or new trends emerge in your industry. Be willing to add new ideas that are better than the ones you already have. It's not a first-in, stays-in process, meaning the first idea on the list, once you start it, it stays. It must be best one-in, stays-in, meaning you constantly are reshuffling your ideas and the best ones stay in the process and are the ones you execute. Now here, be careful here. Don't confuse an innovation pipeline for innovation. Innovation is the realization of an idea, and a killer innovation is the realization of an idea that is significant and highly profitable departure from current products and services that would be difficult to duplicate. So fill your pipeline with killer ideas that will lead you to create killer innovations. One key step of self-evaluation that is necessary when prioritizing your ideas is, can you execute? Some of you will be overly critical of yourself or your organization, so be careful. If you're thinking in your mind that, oh, we could never do this, you're the one holding back the organization. It's not management, it's not your current boss. If you think that and you use that as a barrier to take the next step, then you're the one holding the organization back. So, when asking yourself the following questions, here are some rules. Drop all misbelief. Ignore your history, ignore your past, drop all misbelief. Assume you can do it and ask yourself how. This week's killer questions are, 1, do we have the structural attributes to be a shaper? Can we shape a go-to-market? Can we shape the supply chain to meet the needs for this market? Do we have the relationship with the customer segment? Do you have the structural attributes to be a shaper? Go-to-market, supply chain, relationship with the customer segment. Anything that you need to shape that goes from the idea to delivering value to the customer. The second killer question, can we get our groups excited? Will management understand the idea? It's hard to get management excited if management doesn't understand the idea. Now, part of the challenge, if you're in a high-tech field, is to deal with age gap between the management that's making the decisions and the trends that are emerging. Does your executive team even know what Facebook is? Do they have a Facebook page if you're trying to pitch them a Web 2.0 strategy? Will they grasp the impact and the fundamental change, or do they just not get it? Now, I'm not saying this is a reason not to pitch the idea, but you use this to understand how you need to change the pitch. Now, I've talked about in a previous podcast about being able to create analogies. If you can't get your group, your executives excited about the base idea, then use an analogy so they do understand the comparison. Understand the comparison between mainframes to mini computers to PCs, to understand that people who developed minis could not make the transition to PCs. just like the people today may not be able to make the transition to the next trend. So can your groups get excited? The third question, will senior management support it? How risky is the idea? Is this a bet the business idea? And what's the risk profile of your management? Can you get them to support it? Is this in line with the scope of ideas supported by management in the past, or are you asking for something totally different? Now again, getting a no or getting that this is going to be hard for any of these three questions is not a reason to stop. Remember, drop all misbelief. Assume you can do it. Ask yourself how. So again, one, do we have the structural attributes to be a shaper? Or is the organization structure we have today going to be the barrier? Two, can we get our groups excited? The existing groups within your organization, can you get them excited? And three, will senior management support it? If you get a no or you get, boy, this is going to be hard, use that as an area of focus to figure out how you're going to get management to support it, how you're going to get groups excited, and how you're going to use your structural attributes to be a shaper. And with that, if you answer these three questions and you use them to prioritize how you need to interact with the organizations such that you can successfully execute the idea, then you're going to be a winner. Over the course of these podcasts, I've shared with you a number of methods, tools, and tricks that I've developed and use. Your emails and how you've applied them and the results you've gotten have been both exciting and extremely rewarding. However, I'm the first to admit that they need to be tried, tested, and validated in your environment and situation. It's never a one-size-fits-all. Franklin Roosevelt probably said it best. It is common sense to take a method and try it. If it fails, admit it frankly and try another. But above all, try something. And with that, thanks for listening. Please send your feedback to podcast@killerinnovations.com. You can post your comments on the show directly within the show notes. Also, you can post there topics that you would like to hear in upcoming podcasts. I'm now posting the full transcripts for the 2007 shows. I'm usually about two shows behind, but I think all the transcripts are now up and loaded back to January 1st of 2007. So you can actually go and download and read the actual transcripts from the show. There are multiple ways for you and I to connect and communicate. First off, you can use LinkedIn. You can send me an invite from LinkedIn. Just send it to the podcast@killerinnovations.com. I'm also now on Facebook. You can just go to killerinnovations.com, see the Facebook little window on the right-hand side, click on it, and we can connect on Facebook. Or as always, you can also connect with me on Skype at Phil_McKinney. Now, please note that if you're a listener of the podcast, and I'll accept the invitation, but as you can imagine, I get a lot of LinkedIn, a lot of Facebooks. I don't get a lot on Skype, but Facebook and LinkedIn, I get a lot of requests, so I would just ask that you please let me know that you are a listener to the podcast. Also on Facebook, there is a Killer Innovations group site, so you can meet up with other listeners of the podcast or other people interested in innovation and creativity, and feel free to post comments, start discussions, engage other members of the community in helping you or contributing to solving innovation challenges that others are having that are listeners of the podcast. Feel free, if you have a blog or if you have a website, feel free to link to the Killer Innovations site. Also, don't forget to vote. Voting for your podcast is the easiest way to say thanks for the producers of all the great content that's out there. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm confident that you're listening to a number of the other great podcasts that are out there. So go out to Podcast Alley, go out to dig.com, or you can go to the Killer Innovations site, and both of the buttons for Podcast Alley and Dig are available, and you can vote. And with that, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.